Welcome to Rhode Island Avenue Radio, where we'll talk about news, education, and opportunities for small businesses on the Rhode Island Avenue Main Street and in Washington, D.C. I'm Michelle Yancey.
And I'm Kyle Todd. Welcome to Rhode Island Avenue Radio.
I'm with Mr. Dwayne Johnson, the owner of M&S Barber Services, located at 2221 Kearney Street Northeast in the Woodridge area of Washington, D.C. Today, we will discuss the business of being a barber, stylist, and for Dwayne, so much more. Dwayne, welcome, and it's a pleasure having you on our podcast.
Good morning to all.
Good morning. I want our listeners to know a little bit about your background and how you decided to become a barber. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, ma'am. It started at a very young age. I took an interest in cutting hair, and I started with the little community that I grew up in, Southwest. And we bought some homemade wall clippers from the, at that time of the People's Drugstore. And I'm telling my age. And we just started cutting hair in the house. And then it went outside to the back door. And I've always had an interest in it. And back then, it was institutions called vocational schools. And my parents, they wouldn't allow me to go to vocational school, you know. It was either go to a regular high school, get the education, and you can cut hair when you get out of school. And that was my father's demand. So it started at a very, very young age. And with that being said is when went on through high school, went to college, came out of college, started working in the federal government. And then they offered a program down at Armstrong Adult Education Center. And we went in, and me and my sister, well, my sister, she went in first. That's who inspired me and encouraged me to go, because I had an interest in barbering. And I went into the vocational program, the adult vocational program at Armstrong, got my license. And it's been a beautiful ride ever since.
And the rest is history, as they say. So your shop was originally located at 2900 12th Street in the Brooklyn neighborhood. Residents have often described Brooklyn as one of the best-kept secret neighborhoods in D.C.
True that.
Yeah. How would you describe the Brooklyn of 19 years ago and the changes that have taken place in Brooklyn today?
Brooklyn was always promising. Just like many neighborhoods in this fair city, it was riddled by drugs, crime, positiveness, good people, bad people, throughout the whole city. So with that being said, it was a typical area until a lot of interest was provided in that central location.
So you recently moved from 12th Street Northeast to Kearney Street Northeast in February 2015. Why?
Yes. Heartbreaking. They sold 2900 to a developer, and he opted to demolish the existing building, and of course with all the redevelopment going on in throughout the city, not only in Brooklyn but throughout the entire city. 2900 was one of the locations that was assigned to redevelopment. So we were kind of like forced to relocate to 2221 Kearney Street Northeast. No.
Okay. Well, you mentioned your sister, and I understand that M&S Barber Services is a family affair. Yes. How did the name originate?
M&S is the initials of my parents. It was their funding that provided us the opportunity to open up this business. My dad, his name was Medell Ford, and that was the M. Of course, I was the Ann. Me and my sister was the Ann. Mm-hmm. And my mom, her nickname was Sweetsie, and that's where the M&S came from. And we only thought it would be fair. Well, I only thought it would be fair because, like I say,
it was their money.
It was their money. It was their funds that got this successful business up off the ground. So it was only right that we did it that way. And we never, ever, ever thought that M&S would become the empire that it is today.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Well, I don't know if you know this. You probably do. But during medieval times, barbers were known to perform crude and often fatal surgeries.
Yes.
Dwayne, to be sure, you're not a surgeon. But yeah. You did provide health services to primarily African-American men in the Brooklyn neighborhood.
Yes, ma'am.
How did you get involved with providing health services, and what were the services, or what are the services?
MedStar, Washington, D.C. They came up with a program called Hair, Heart, and Health. And this program came out maybe in like 1999. And it was several other barbershops in the city participating in this program. And we were recommended by a barbershop over on Minnesota Avenue. You know, they suggested, go see M&S. They do a lot of great things for the community. And they would take this program and take it to a whole different level. So once the program was introduced to us, we felt the need to be part of it. Not because of what the stigma or the prestige that it could possibly bring, but we were in a predominantly Afro-American neighborhood, and the services they was offered was hypertension. You know, and everybody in the District of Columbia, everybody across the world know that hypertension affects most Afro-American men. So with that being said, is we kind of like took the program and offered it to our clients, and we made a drastic involvement to the community, a positive way. And it just took off and elevated to a whole different entity as far as Hair, Heart, and Health.
That's great. I've actually heard that there were two or three men whose blood pressure readings gave you a scare. Can you tell us about that?
We had one brother come in, and his pressure was so high. His diabetes, his sugar count was extremely high. And he never participated in the program. You know, it was recommended that anybody that come into M&S had to go through that cheer, you know. And he sat down, and we found out that his sugar was so high, it was like he was in the 900s. So we immediately stopped what we was doing. We called the ambulance. We rushed him down to Providence Hospital. And they kept his brother for 3 days. And his wife personally called M&S, and she was like, if it wasn't for him sitting down and taking that vital reading that day, the doctors had said he was gone.
Yeah, you saved his life, it sounds like.
Well.
So can you tell me if these services will be provided in your new location?
Oh, no question. We've like grasped this program, and it's our baby. You know, we're going to nurture this thing, and we're going to feed it, and we're going to watch it grow, and we're going to continue to provide the services that we had over 2,900. And we're going to spread them all up and down Rhode Island Avenue. We're going to, we are an impact business. You know, we are into making the community better. You know, and that's just not me speaking. That's the attitude that we had 19 years ago when we opened this barbershop up. You know, we wanted to make a positive impact in the community. You know, so many businesses come into the district. So many organizations open up in the district. And they take the riches out of the district. We refuse to be that kind of business. We want to bring back the positiveness to the community. We want to bring back the positiveness to the district. And we want to be the type of businesses that's an example. You know, we want to be considered the example business, you know. And so many people get caught up in egos. So many people get caught up in stereotypes. You know, no. That's not how you live in M&S. You know, when you come in M&S, it's like you're not even a client anymore. You're part of a family now, you know. And whatever services we have that can help anybody as far as placement for homes, diabetes screenings, hypertension screenings, food assistance, we got connections. And we try to pass it on to everybody. We're working with the Department of Health. We're passing out condoms to all our young brothers. And we're working on female condom kits. You know, so we reaching out. Matter of fact, we're in the process now of trying to do a needle exchange. And we're working with MedStar once again. And we're trying to start reaching out to these brothers with hepatitis C, because everybody in the district don't want to accept it, don't want to realize it, but heroin is on the rise in the District of Columbia, and everybody's not sniffing heroin. Some people are still, as they call it in the world, spiking, you know? So we want to help those that's out there. We want to educate them on, we want to educate them on HIV. Two, we want to educate them on hepatitis. And two, if you have any kind of problems, man, we want to educate you as far as, like, this is where you can come to receive your tools if this is your choice.
That sounds great. Well, as I said earlier, Dwayne is a barber, but so much more. Dwayne, tell us about the roles you've played with community seniors, youth groups, the Metropolitan Police Department, and most importantly, the responsibilities of a small business owner.
These are the things that small businesses are supposed to do. The seniors built this country and they built these communities, you know, so they entitled to anything that they get back. A lot of seniors are totally unaware of what's out there for them, you know, and I mean, even as something small as a $15 haircut from M&S, you entitled to that. You know, as far as reaching out to them, as far as food services, we provide opportunities where the food banks would bring the food to M&S and we would just package it up and take it to the communities, right? Because a lot of seniors, they can't get out. You know, they won't get out. And we try to make it easier for them. For the kids, I mean, you know, they kids. A lot of kids, they see so much negative. They hear so much negative. But at M&S, we just try to give a positive view, right? We cook out every Saturday. Hamburgers, hot dogs, pretty much chicken. Everything that you would possibly think that would be at a family cookout, that's what we put on the grill. A lot of kids, they know this. They look forward to this. And, I mean, you know, it's something small. It's just something small. It's a lot of kids walking around these cities that's hungry. It's a lot of kids walking around this city that's misled. It's a lot of seniors walking around this city that's hungry. It's a lot of seniors walking around here that's misled. We have institutions in this city, and we have connections in this city that can provide the information, but then everything is computer savvy now, you know? And anybody from the age 50 on up, they pretty much scared to tackle that computer, but that's where we come in. We try to make it easy for them. So we reach out and get handouts. We get contact numbers. We get contact information. And we just try to make sure that it's available to everybody. And we even go door-to-door and put it in your mailbox. At least you can't say that I didn't receive the information. Now, and as far as with the police department, oh, man, crime is on the rise. Break-ins is on the rise. Robbery is on the rise. You know, and we, as a community, we got to come together. You know, they don't even call it the neighborhood no more. They call it the hood. And that's the problem we have. It's not a hood. It's not a hood. It's a neighborhood. And we got to start addressing it as a neighborhood. I got to look out for the people across the street just like I have to look out for the people down the street, because I'm not always there. So that means they have to look out for me as well. You know, and like I'm explaining to a neighbor of mine right now on Kearney Street, you got to go to work. My job is right here on Kearney Street. So when you leave your house, guess who's watching your house?
Yeah.
Yes. So, I mean, but it's just what we're supposed to do as a people. And we not boasting, you know, we not trying to make that much of an impact or a difference, but we talking about being just everyday people, you know, and that's what we losing a lot of focus, man. We don't look out for each other no more. You know, it's not about black and white, green and purple, you know. If I cut a green man, he going to bleed red, just like if I cut a white man, he going to bleed red.
That's true.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, as I said, the barbershop has changed locations to Woodridge from Brooklyn, but the spirit and goodness you have shown has spread to a larger area. Brooklyn was a secret, but no more. Dwayne Johnson may have been a secret, but not anymore. Dwayne, thanks so very much for taking time with us today.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Okay, we're here today with Tim Flanagan, the Executive Director of Washington Area Community Investment Fund. Welcome, Tim.
Oh, thank you, Kyle. Appreciate you taking the time to be here.
So Tell us a little bit about WACIF.
WACIF is a community development financial institution. It's a CDFI is the acronym. But what we do, in short, is lend money and expertise to small businesses in the capital region. So anywhere, Ward 5, Ward 7, Ward 8, Prince George's County are major areas. But we've lent money in Virginia and suburban Maryland. And the key about WACIF, folks come to us because they can't get financing from traditional institutions, from your banks, the big banks, the regional banks, the community banks. But they have an idea, they have something going for them, and WACIF is able to step in and provide financing to get them going or to keep them going and get them to a better financial situation.
So do you process applications just like a bank would, or do you have a different set of criteria for qualifying for loans?
Yeah, it's similar to a bank. I mean, just about every respect, we're getting the same information that a bank would, a business plan if it's a startup, it's financials if they've been in business. You know, you see a profit and loss statement, how they've performed for a certain amount of time, balance sheets, you know, show their financial strength. But the difference is in the underwriting and how flexible WACIF can be with how we structure deals, with how we can overlook certain aspects of a application that aren't as strong. And banks have a very tough job because they have to be right 99% of the time. They can't take huge risks. And that's the way that debt financing is set up. It's doesn't like risk. It likes to be secure and safe and cozy and warm. And WACIF isn't. Banks have to be right 99% of the time. WACIF has a little more flexibility. We could take a little bit bigger of a risk. We could take a little bit more of a risk. So, yeah, we're getting the same information and we're looking at the profile. But sometimes somebody runs into a hard time, right? You know, whether it's a divorce, whether it's medical bills. One of my favorite borrowers, he had been part of a larger company, and one of the jobs went bad, and he paid the subcontractors out of his own pocket.
Wow.
Out of his own pocket, he paid the subs just to maintain the relationships, just to make sure that they got squared up. But, of course, that ruined him for a while because there goes all of his money.
Right.
So his credit score dipped. he didn't have the resources that he once did, and he needed financing. And so you want to deal with people like that who have high character. And, yeah, like he didn't have to pay those subcontractors. He could have been stayed rich and rode off into the sunset, but he chose to do the right thing. And those are the people that we want to work with. And those are the people that, you know, WACIF will take a chance on. They don't look great on paper to a bank necessarily, but they look great to WACIF when you look at the whole picture.
Well, and from a Main Street perspective, you know, that's the type of business owner we want to have in our community. Somebody that has that level of conscientiousness and really character.
Sure. And and you think about Main Streets and you think about emerging corridors and emerging neighborhoods and you know, people who have been in neighborhoods for a long time that want to stay there. And they're willing to take chances and they're willing to stretch themselves to make sure that the community benefits. And it's that holistic point of view. It's not, you know, a selfish point of view. It's a holistic community-based point of view. And I think there's a lot of overlap in between what the Main Streets do and the businesses that Main Streets are trying to cultivate and the businesses that come to WACIF. And they have that larger view. And it's not just about them. It's not just about them getting rich. It's about them being able to provide, them being able to support their community, to do well in their community, to do good in their community. And I think there's a big overlap in between the clients that we're serving.
Thus, the community investment fund part of the Washington Area Community Investment Fund. So, do you find yourself focusing more on new businesses coming in, or do you? How is the balance between new businesses and existing businesses that may need to do some capital improvements?
We see most, I would say, it's a much higher percentage of people with a dream that come in the front door. Right. But you know, if somebody comes in and says, "I want to start a restaurant," right? And we get this all the time, where you know people love to eat out. They can maybe cook reasonably well at home, and then they put those two together and think, obviously the next step is I should open up a 200 seat, 3,000 square foot restaurant.
Because that's the next logical
step. Because that's obvious, the next logical step. So they, you know, and of course they come in and say, now I don't have any money to put into this, so I'm going to need 100% in financing. I don't have anything to put at risk here, but you should be funding me for my dream.
Because that's the next logical step as well.
Right, exactly. So there's a little bit of weeding that out. And you know, and that client is actually probably a good client if there's some intermediary steps there. If they do something, like let's say that they you know, open up a pop-up or you know, maybe scale back their idea, maybe do some catering first. Like just try something small scale, prove the concept, prove that you can do that. And then start to, you know, to build out from there. But you've got to weed a lot of the ideas out. And a lot of them just need more seasoning. But on the flip side, we're getting a lot of operating businesses. And I'd say maybe 25-30% of the people who are coming in the front door have a business already. Some measurable amount of activity. But things aren't going well. Things aren't going as they planned it, and what they're coming to Wakif for, and they've already kind of set this idea up that they know something isn't right, but they don't know what they don't know, and they're opening themselves up to help, and you know, and whether that help takes the form of financing, maybe they need a you know, to finance a contract that they got, maybe they're looking to expand their existing operation, get some piece of equipment, open up a second location, whatever it is, you know, or maybe that help takes the form of advice. Maybe they just need to talk it out. Maybe they need to hear somebody tell them something they already know, but they don't want to admit it.
They just need a little confirmation.
They need a little confirmation, right? We had another great borrower. Two lovely ladies. They are really bright engineering, or they're bright engineers. They started out in the midst of the recession.
Like tough time for everyone.
Tough time for everybody. But they left good paying jobs to start this business and just couldn't get it to work. And it wasn't because they weren't smart. I mean, they're brilliant. The two of them are brilliant. Some of it was circumstance, a lot of it was capital, but they also needed that, the ability to sit down and talk to someone who had seen that before.
Right.
And let them know that this isn't unique, that it's okay. If you struggle a little bit, that's okay. A lot of people struggle. A lot of people start their business and it doesn't take off the way that they expect it to. And that's all right. And we started out very small with them. We did some of that consulting, we made them a loan. They grew, got more contracts. We gave them a bigger loan. They grew. And all that while, as we were working with them, they'd come in once a month and just chat.
Nice.
So just chat.
A little business therapy.
A little business therapy. And in fact, that's, and I think if you talk to a lot of small business bankers, if you talk to other organizations like Wakif, we view ourselves as a counselor on many levels, financial, psychological. There's a big piece to this that you're kind of bringing out the best in the clients that you serve. It's not, not all of it is teaching them how to keep their books. I mean, you can learn how to do QuickBooks. You can learn, you know, the four P's of marketing. You could get the textbook knowledge, but a lot of it instilling that confidence, instilling that it's okay, like other people have done this and, you know, things didn't take off right away and it's all right. Keep grinding, keep out there, you know, keep hustling. And the great cherry on top of that story is we, those two clients, the engineering firm, just rolled out to a community bank. They outgrew Wakif, which is the best of all possible scenarios, where they've got in, we helped grow them. Now they're off to a bigger, greener pasture. And we get to work on the next success story. And they're going to join our board.
Oh, it's a bonus.
Which is it's the way that this is supposed to work. And, you know, and it's really about, you know, as we go along, people can't stay with us forever. We need to be able to work with them, get them through the tough time, get them through the growth, and then send them out to the traditional financial institutions and start working on that next success story.
So when they're repaying their loans, they're paying an interest rate, which is helping to keep you guys working and available to help with the next business that comes along.
Yeah.
Is that standard market rate interest? Does it vary depending on the client? How does that work?
Well, it's people are paying more at Wakif, and that's because of the risk profile. So if you imagine that debt financing is, we talked about before, where it wants to be cozy and warm and nice and not take too many risks, Wakif is taking some additional risk. So you have to price in that risk. There's going to be more losses in our portfolio as a percentage basis than, you know, the big banks. And that's just the way that this model is set up. And so people are paying a little bit more, which is also an incentive to get out. So it's an incentive to do well and, you know, grow the business and then be able to access traditional capital. It's the way that it's supposed to go.
But Wakif offers more than just loans. And, you know, you touched on it when you mentioned counseling. But Wakif also offers training.
Yeah.
I know that you guys have a ton of seminars that you do on a regular basis, workshops. You partner with DC Bar.
Mm-hmm.
I know we've partnered a couple of times on some educational seminars. Talk a little bit about the different educational programs that Wakif provides.
Yeah, boy, it's a pretty wide range, and I'd say that one thing we're very lucky as an organization, people like to be involved. I think particularly professional level folks, you know, DC Bar, some of the lawyers we work with, accountants, you know, marketing professionals, people that are operating at a pretty high level, want to help because they see themselves in our business owners and our clients, and they want to provide their lessons learned, their expertise to this, you know, next generation, if you will. And so we're very lucky that we can have a wide range of seminars, particularly in, you know, Ward 7 and Ward 8 and Ward 5, communities that aren't getting the same resources that the rest of the city gets. And we're able to bring this professional level expertise to, you know, to folks that aren't don't always have access to it, and that's a big thing for us. I mean, it's you know, Wakif exists because there's a gap in you know how communities are served and the resources that they have available to them, and Wakif seeks to bridge that gap. And one of the ways we do that is these really great seminars, these high-level seminars. We're bringing bankers in to talk about financing. They're sitting, you know, with prospective owners and talking through accounting and talking through the finance. We have, you know, marketing professionals. One of our consultants had her own business for 15 years, did a bunch of sales, and we've had her do social media. You know, a tiered social media program. So we're getting this really great talent, and we're able to deliver it in a really effective way. And I'm really proud of my staff for putting it on, and I'm really happy that we've had such great response from the volunteer community.
And these classes, the seminars, those are at no cost?
Free as a bird.
And anybody can go?
Anybody can go.
Whether they're one of your official loan clients or not?
Yeah, there's no commitment. And we're not trying to, WakeIf isn't about a hard sell. We're not trying to, this isn't a prospecting mission all the time. We want to provide the information. Our mission is to connect folks with resources that they wouldn't otherwise have access to. And so we want you to show up, and we want you to, if you see something that's interesting to you, show up. There's no cost to it. It just takes your time. You can get out of it what you put in. And if you want to continue, great. We're happy to talk about that. But we want this information out there, and we want it. We want as many small business experts out there as we can get.
An informed clientele is always the most successful.
Absolutely.
So you mentioned having all these various experts that will come in and teach classes and seminars, and you mentioned having some community banks participating from an educational standpoint. Mm-hmm. Do the community banks also participate as far as the lending program?
Well, yes. I mean, the short answer is yes. And a lot of banks are investors in WakeIf. So we take investments from the community. It could be a large bank. It could be Michelle. It could be anybody.
No pressure, Michelle.
No pressure, but I'm expecting a check.
I need a loan.
Yeah. But, I mean, it could be anybody. And WakeIf functions, the model is like a bank in many ways. Money in on one side at a lower interest rate, money out on the other side at a higher interest rate. And you have that spread that supports the fund, supports the operation. So banks have been a big partner in WakeIf, both on the capital and on the operating side. And they see the value in cultivating this this next generation, the new entrepreneurs, the small business owners that have room to grow. And like I mentioned before, one of the best things that we could do as an organization is to get these clients in, work with them, build their capacity, and then get them to a bank.
So it's a total win-win situation for the area banks.
It's a complete win-win, and it's a life cycle thing. I mean, just to be honest, I mean, banks have a very, very tough job, and WakeIf has a very tough job, but debt financing is a big piece of the economy. It's a big piece of local economies, and the more that we can support good ideas and great people and help them build their own sustainability and to hire folks within their community, we all win.
Right. Yes. No doubt about that. So, what do you besides the folks with a restaurant dream, and minimal experience, what are some of the biggest challenges that you see facing small businesses in the DC area now that they need help with, whether it's financial or education?
Well, most of the clients that are coming in our front door have credit challenges, and that's many reasons that for that. Some folks fell behind in the recession and never really caught up. We had an example. One of our clients had tried to modify her mortgage and had perfect credit, other than her house was underwater. She wanted to try and modify her mortgage. So, of course, you have to miss a couple payments before they to pay attention. I mean, this is what the advice that folks are getting. So she missed a couple payments. Well, tanked her credit score. And everything else is fine except for these couple of missed payments on her mortgage. But, of course, that doesn't fit within the box of what the banks need to have to be able to move forward. And in fact, it was a bank referral. One of our partner banks had said, you know, we really like this idea. We like this person. You know, we think she's got a great opportunity, but here's why her credit isn't good. And we talked it through and we thought, you know, this isn't really a credit risk. The credit score goes down, but that doesn't mean she's a credit risk. And you know, you have to look beyond the paper. You have to look beyond the score. And you have to see the person who's there standing before you or sitting before you and the circumstances that have led to that that encounter. And you can't just, you know, the adage, you know, you can't judge a book by its cover, and that's fine, but it's deeper. And in fact, this person, we were able to get her a loan, and she's grown, and, you know, her credit score has improved, and she was able to modify her mortgage, and, you know, things worked out in the end. But, you know, the credit challenges that we're seeing, not all of them are real, I guess, is the I don't know if real is the right word, but not all of them are as bad.
There's more to the story.
Yeah, there's more to the story, right? And you have to really, you know, Wakeif has to dig in and you know, get behind that. But, you know, we just see, you know, a lot of folks who've had some challenge. And when you're under-resourced and we don't have, you know, deep pockets, it's harder to catch up. It's harder to keep up. And that doesn't mean necessarily you don't have a good idea or you're not a good credit risk. That has to be taken into account, but there's usually something there.
So you're able, Wakeif is able to look at more than just a number on a credit report and make a really informed decision about helping a community grow.
Yeah, and we, you know, we're humans. We deal with humans. We can't, you know, we're never going to be a high volume shop that's processing hundreds of applications, you know, per day. That's not our business. And, you know, and Wakeif will never be, you know, outside of the capital region. I mean, we're dealing with people here in the capital region, in DC, in Maryland, Virginia. We have to get to know them. It's relationship lending. It's, you know, it's a wonderful life in, you know, 2015. I mean, this is...
That's exactly the image that I got when you first started talking about it. The whole Jimmy Stewart bank scene of, oh yeah, we'll give you $20.
That's absolutely what it is. And you can't, you know, and I get that, that scale is important and, you know, banks have to compete on a larger scale, and we're happy to be that community-based lender. We're happy to be that gap and to get to know people and get to know the circumstances and just, you know, and frankly, you know, see whether there's something there or not and you know, for their opportunity, for our opportunity. But credit challenges just seem to be pervasive.
So many D.C. economic development agencies, government agencies, whether it's the Deputy Mayor for Planning and Economic Development or Department of Small Local Business Development, they have grants that they can offer to small businesses for capital improvement, facade improvement, projects like that. And many times the businesses that need the most help, you know, a business that's, let's say, that's been in around for 30 years, and they've always just been kind of hovering on breaking even, but mm-hmm. they have been a bedrock of the community. It's time for them to do some facelift on their building or inside their building to be able to attract the next generation of clients and customers from the community. Many of those grants are what they would call, I suppose, reimbursable, where the business has to spend the money first and then get reimbursed. And sometimes mm-hmm. that reimbursement rate is incredibly, incredibly slow. Mm-hmm. So an $85,000 grant from an agency that is going to help you build out your new facade or renovate the interior of your building, you got to be able to pay for that up front and then have the capacity to wait sometimes months. Yeah. To get that reimbursement. Is that something that you know, case by case, obviously, is that something that Wakeif delves into, providing bridge loans, as it were, or are there other projects, other programs that would be a better resource?
No, that's something that Wakeif would do. And, you know, surely it's a case-by-case basis. But I think the important point here is that, you know, people that have had businesses that have operated for a long time, they should be commended. They should have access to, you know, all resources. But that also requires change. And I, you know, I don't want to, you know, knock...
don't name names.
No. I mean, it's, you know, you want to see a mix of folks who have been there for a while and new businesses. I mean, there's inevitably going to be turnover. But folks who have been there and have been the bedrock, you want them to have access. You want them to have the same resources. And I think sometimes everybody, and this isn't, you know, just government or, you know, public or private, people like new and shiny things. But there's also a lot to be said, and you know, from my perspective, you want that community character to stay, and you don't want to lose that even as changes are occurring. But it's incumbent on the business owners to change with you know, with the neighborhood around them and with the times, and you know, to have a website and to have it, you know, God forbid, a social media presence, and you know, and to do things that keep them updated. And what you don't want to see is a business that has been able to operate, you know, for a long time doing the same thing, but not get ahead.
Right.
And the worst possible scenario is a business who's been there for a long time, who's really staked a claim to the neighborhood, who deserves a ton of credit for keeping the neighborhood afloat and not changing, and then losing.
Right.
And in the end, losing their business, losing their property,
losing
because
their
they couldn't keep up. And you know, and Wakeif offers you know, consulting. There's plenty of free resources that are out there. But oh, it just breaks my heart to see folks who are just so resistant to change that it might mean losing everything, losing something that they've worked so hard for. And you know, irrespective of grants that are available and resources are available, business owners have a responsibility to change, or you know what? Enjoy it. Sell and
yeah,
get out.
It's adapt or die.
Yeah, it's grow, change, or die is you know, something we talk about you know, a fair amount. And you know, and I've come from a small business family. My all four of my grandparents owned a small business. My one grandfather sold firewood, cords and cords and cords of firewood. My grandmother was tailoring and alterations, and you know, she was a whiz on the sewing machine. And you know, we'd go to restaurants where she had made the uniforms. And then on the other side, my dad's mom ran a surgical store, so it was all medical supplies. And you know, I remember eating a lot of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches in the stock room. and then my dad's father had been an accountant, a pharmacist, was very involved in community banking, and so I've seen that up close. I mean, I've seen that that life, and you just you want to see these owners who have put in so much and have given so much to their community, have given back to their community. You want to see them, you know, be able to enjoy it. And not have to, you know, be faced with, you know, a situation where they have to leave or they lose what they've worked so hard for.
Well, and as you pointed out, there are so many resources available to businesses in this area, whether it's through a local Main Street program or Wakeif or any number of the economic development nonprofits in the area. There's lots of education to be had, and I'm with you 100% on the whole adapt or die. You know, the idea of a business that opened 30 years ago still doing business the way they did 30 years ago, it's heartbreaking to see them missing out on so many sales, especially right now. I just heard somebody talking about, you know, attracting millennials as consumers to your business, and they were talking about how millennials are this unique combination of hyper-local and global. Mm-hmm. So they want to support their hyper-local businesses, but they communicate in a global sphere. So you could have been given the best haircuts for the last 30 years in the neighborhood, but unless you are on Facebook or have a web page, they will never know you exist. Mm-hmm. And they would love to come spend their money with you because you are a locally owned business. And yet they don't know you exist.
Yeah.
Because and they're not looking in the Yelp pages. They're not reading their Val packs that come in the mail.
On social media, you don't exist.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
That's true. And you could take that, you think about how we find businesses. I mean, who hasn't used Google to find a barbershop or find a place where they can get a gallon of milk?
And it's not just millennials. I mean, I'm a baby boomer, and I depend on my phone and Google.
Right. So. And I think that speaks a lot to, you know, how businesses have to adapt and change. And it's, you know, a lot of times it's just minor tweaks. It's not, you know, you don't have to completely revolutionize your business or change the way that the products or the services you offer, but you have to keep up with your customers, and your customers have to be able to engage with you. And I think that's where, as we communicate globally but support hyper locally, you want to have a way for your customers to find you in more than one place. It has to be on, you know, in my mind, social media. You have to be available. You have to and be engaged with your community. And that part hasn't changed, but there are other ways that people are finding you, and you have to be able to keep up.
Exactly. So let's say somebody is interested in finding out more about Waco, or they're ready to talk to Wakif about some financing. What's the first step?
Sure. Well, Wakif, it's a great transition. We have social media. We're on Twitter. Our handle is @Wakif, our acronym, WACIF. And here's how many times I've had to spell this out. It's Whiskey Alpha Charlie in India Foxtrot.
Wow.
Whiskey Alpha Charlie India Foxtrot. I've kept the... I've kept that by my computer because I had to say it so many times, and people always say, "Is it an S at the end?" No. F Foxtrot. So we're on Twitter at Wakif. We're on Facebook. Our website is wakif.org. Whiskey Alpha Charlie India Foxtrot .org.
Just to drive that point home.
And we go by Wakif. It stands for Washington Area Community Investment Fund. But so many folks just know us as Wakif. We've dropped the charade, and we just go by Wakif now. But we're engaging on social media. We do have plenty of events, which we cover on our website on Twitter, and we love to see people out. And just a quick story. We were just talking to some public officials about the work that Wakif does and other small business support, resource partners. And one of our clients was there, and she was talking about how, you know, she got a loan from us and how, you know, Wakif has been really important to her. And she was, you know, naming, you know, folks on our staff who, you know, who she's worked with and has just, you know, been thrilled. And, the question came to her, well, how did you find Wakif? And she sat back for a minute, and she thought, and she paused, and she said, well, you know what? Wakif found me. Because they were out. They had a class in my local library. I went to it. I started talking to them. I told them about where I was at, and I realized I needed to go and see them. And I felt like dropping the mic at that point. It's like, well, this is perfect. It made me very proud, that we're involved in the community, both in, at a very physical, level. I mean, we have a presence, and we're out, and we're doing seminars, and we're engaging. But you can also find us online.
Story is a great testament to your actually being out in the places where people need you.
Right. Yeah, and I think you as you do this job, or you're involved with small businesses, you realize that there is no 9-to-5. There is no schedule. There is no, I mean, you're in from the time you get up until the time you go to bed, and even sometimes in the middle of the night, you're engaged and you're into your business. And, so you have to, if you're supporting folks like that, you can't have a 9-to-5. You can't be in the office at 9 o'clock and leave at 5 and assume that that's going to work. So we do have stuff in the morning. We do have stuff, we put on seminars at lunchtime. We'll put on seminars in the evening. You know, we're out and not in the middle of the night. That's the one
we draw the line.
And we draw the line. We need our sleep. But we do try to keep a full calendar. We try to hit time slots that are at least somewhat convenient for small business owners and prospective small business owners to attend.
All right. Well, Tim, thank you very much for taking time to speak with us today. Again, that's Whiskey Alpha Charlie
India
Foxtrot.org, Wakeif.org, and on Facebook and Twitter. Thank you again, and look forward to working with you in the future with other businesses.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure, Kyle. Thank you so Thanks. Much.
Thank you for joining us today. Please be sure to tune into us next week, where we will be talking with the historic Dudley Beauty College's Alfred Dudley and Melanie McLean Dudley.
And we'll also be joined by Gabriella Mossi from the Greater Washington Hispanic Chamber of Commerce Foundation, talking about all of the assistance that they provide for small businesses in the area. Again, be sure and find us on Twitter and Facebook, Rhode Island Avenue Radio. Thanks, and we'll see you next week.